Time to bring in our man Chip Towers from DogNation.com, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. Does anyone say Atlanta Journal-Constitution anymore? I mean, that just must be me being old there saying that. But AJC.com and DogNation.com. Does that sound right, Chip? Did I get everything covered?
Yeah, we don't hear the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as much anymore. Of course, Dave, you and I can remember when it was the Atlanta Journal and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
That's right.
The Atlanta Constitution, two different ones. So,
that's right, a morning version and an afternoon version.
Yeah, now we're just AJC, and, of course, specifically we're Dog Nation because there's so much to write and report about with them dogs.
Man, it's never-ending, and just when we think we got everything figured out, a game like Saturday comes along, and, you know, for historical perspective, Georgia was just a couple of plays from being involved in one of the biggest shockers in NCAA history.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wrote about Saturday. I was thumbing through the media guide, you know, and trying to jog my memory, you know, to think about worst ever, and I really couldn't come up with one. I mean, had what happened looked like could happen toward the end of that game, it was going to be really nasty. And, you know, afterward, I actually mentioned that in one of my columns, and I heard from a lot of fans about the worst they remember. A lot of people pointed to that loss to Virginia that year where they were shut out, and I think James Brown played it at halftime.
Right.
And there was some Richmond game, and of course, the loss to Vanderbilt that essentially got Ray Goff fired was pretty bad. But, you know, this was actually for the shockingness of it. I mean, if you look at it, Vegas has got Georgia as anywhere from a 49.5 to 55.5 point favorite, and you barely win by two, trailing by one in the third quarter. It was, no matter how you sliced it up, that was a bad day.
Well, it's funny, too, and it's like, looking ahead to Missouri, you know, the Dogs are about a touchdown favorite. So what do you look more, what do you put more stock in? The performance against North Carolina, which was obviously much, much better, or the one that the Dogs are coming off of here against Nichols, which was really, really hard to watch?
Well, I'm honestly pretty distressed for Georgia, Dave, going into this Missouri game, because it really had to do with the how and why more than what happened. I mean, you had three turnovers, and that hurt. But the fact that Georgia was getting whipped up front the way they were on the offensive line is extremely disturbing, should be extremely disturbing to Georgia fans. That's a bad FCS team. Now, granted, it was their first game of the year. They got better. Those two dudes from Last Chance U were big difference makers, and they were winning those battles up front with Georgia's offensive line. But, you know, I think it's pretty easy to assume that the talent you're going to face on the defensive fronts in the SEC is going to be better than what you saw in Nichols State. And, Georgia just simply wasn't able to move those guys a bit. And we're at that point of the year. North Carolina, there were some impressive things that happened in that. But in the grand scheme of things, you still don't know. I mean, we got to get halfway through the year before we know, was North Carolina as good as advertised, or are they a, bottom half of the ACC team? I mean, you really don't know at this point. It's all relativity that's going on right now. But, you know, for everything that went on, Georgia was able to pull out a victory at the end, and that's the most important thing. But Lord knows they've got a lot to work on. And as when the coach is up there, as Kirby was, and said, well, I can't trade, my players, that's not a good sign. You know, I mean, basically you got who you got.
Yeah.
And, that's who you're going to war with.
Now, Chip, obviously there were a lot of negatives to draw from the game, but before we super dive into a bunch of that stuff, what were some of the positives you drew? If anything,
you're throwing me a curve there.
And you're right off the bat,
Yeah. What did you see positive in the game? I mean, I don't know. You know, Nick. I mean, you know what Georgia did at the end of the game was pretty gutsy. I mean, if you think about it, they got to have a first down there, and Grayson Lambert comes into the game, and converts a really big first down on third and seven, a 9-yard completion to Chigbu, and Chubb essentially willed Georgia to victory from that point, to knock out another first down. You know, that was pretty impressive. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think Jacob Eason was terrible. Now, when you go back and watch the game, you know, he missed some open receivers, you know, and what I mean was, you know, I thought he – and this is expected when you got a freshman. I thought he made his mind up about who he's going to throw to before the ball was snapped and didn't read the coverages. So there were some open people running around in the secondary, even on some plays where he completed passes. So, you know, I mean, I mean, I would say, you know, maybe a C grade or whatever and on Easton. And the main reason that Georgia started him and played him as much as they were, it was all about repetitions on operation times and that kind of. And I can't really tell you how he did on that in terms of getting the play in from the sideline, interpreting it, getting to the line of scrimmage, you know, making the calls. It didn't look like he checked in or out of a lot of stuff on the line of scrimmage. So I'm still kind of waiting to see on that. Bottom line, Sam, I didn't see a lot. Well, you know, let me say this. You know, they kicked off better. You know, you had four touchbacks. Rodrigo Blankenship was better, and I thought special teams generally were better. But you still had a special teams penalty. You still had the fumble by Isaiah McKenzie, not just the one that they lost possession on, but one he fumbled out of bounds. So I mean, you know, as my report card, I mean that was a D. Too, and I got criticism for not giving the coaching staff a D. I gave them a C in the game, but it was a very, very poor game. I didn't see a lot positive out of it.
Well, speaking of the quarterbacks, where do you think we are with that? And it was interesting that Lambert didn't come in the game until the interception was thrown. I know it was, a tipped pass, but after that it was Lambert, the final, 8 minutes or whatever it turned out to be.
Yeah, well, let me say, you know, I mean, I appreciate what Kirby said, but we're trying to be aggressive and score there, but that's not a smart play. I mean, you're up two scores in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. You're at the 10 or 7-yard line. Run the football, okay? I mean, run the football with Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle. And if you don't score, you kick the field goal, and now you're up three scores. Now you're not going to lose the game.
Yep.
That was a dumb call, okay? I'm just going to say it. And I appreciate Kirby, and I like when they say the aggressive and all that stuff, but you're in there trying to throw with the freshman. Then they changed to Lambert at that point, and I mean, let's call it what it is. They went to Lambert when the game was on the line. So, I mean, I don't be surprised at all if Grayson Lambert ends up starting and being your primary quarterback against Missouri. I, based on what I've seen so far, would feel safer with Lambert in there than I would Easton at this point. Now, that's not to say that eventually – Eason's not going to be the guy. I think he is. I still think, you know, that's the thing. But I don't think he's ready yet. Not what I've seen so far. It's not my determination to make. And, you know, I was hoping that them going to Eason in this game, and the word was they were going to kind of stick with him throughout, and it was almost like a tryout, almost like a, you know, let's give it to the kid and see how he can do, because they felt safe against the opponent. I was hoping that there would be a changing of the guard, but I don't think there was. And I think this competition is going to continue for a while. And right now, I'd give the edge to Lambert because it's just going to be so important to get in the right play, and your operation times and all that stuff is going to be even more important this week at Missouri.
Talking with Chip Towers from DogNation.com, also the AJC.com.
Yeah, you mentioned it a little bit earlier about the push on the from really both sides of the line of scrimmage. The offensive line and defensive line weren't really getting that job done. Is this something where we're going to continue to see kind of a rotation of guys, especially on the defensive line, until Kirby really feels comfortable with whatever line he thinks can get the job done and get the most push?
Yeah, I mean, the problem on the offensive line, it's just not practical to rotate liberally. You know, you kind of got to go with your best guys, and I think they've determined who that is, and you just kind of stick with them. You know, Trent Thompson had a terrific game. I thought it was a breakout game for him. They couldn't block him. He ends up with 11 tackles, but the rest of the line struggled, you know, so you got to have more than one. And if you know, they were alternating almost every play on the defensive line, and essentially what they were trying to do was, you know, we're going to wear you down, and by the second half and by the fourth quarter, we're going to be able to overpower you. That never actually happened, but the important thing is that Tyler Clark, Mikhail Carter, Julian Robinson, you know, all those young guys are getting a lot of experience and getting a lot of reps, and they're going to get better as the year goes along. I don't think there's any problem with the pedigree of Georgia's offensive line. They're just freshmen and sophomores. And we knew, we've talked about it here going into the season, anytime you're dependent on freshmen and sophomore defensive line, you're kind of in trouble anyway. I mean, in my opinion, you got to have, you know, juniors and seniors up there if you know you're going to be good, or you know, just out of this world five-star guys, and they just don't have that right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you did mention Trenton Thompson. He did have an excellent game. You know, and the Georgia defense, I mean, it's not always about the turnovers, about where the turnovers occur. And I think they only had to go like a grand total of like 46 yards for three of their scores. So the defense didn't get put in a very good position there on Saturday. And I think of the 12 first downs that Nichols got, half of them came on one drive. So, I mean, maybe there is something to be a little bit good to say about some of the defensive performance there.
Yeah,
too.
The defense wasn't awful, and if there's any good news, you know, when we're talking about, you know, this week's game against Missouri, Missouri's struggling again on the offensive side of the football, and you know, I expect another kind of game we had last year. What was it, 9-6 or whatever?
Gosh.
I mean, I would anticipate, you know, some kind of game like that just based on what I've seen, because I think Georgia is struggling offensively, and I do think their defense is largely pretty good. I mean, I think it's okay, and can keep you in some games. And if you don't have three turnovers, it's a different game too. So that's going to be a big point of emphasis, I'm sure. I don't know what to do about Isaiah McKenzie. You know, I ended up going with him as my quote-unquote star of the game, and I was already committed to it by the time he commits essentially two turnovers in the last half of the fourth quarter. I mean, that absolutely can't happen. I mean, you are back there as a punt returner. All he had to do was catch a fair catch. I mean, that's the most important thing you can possibly do, and he just dropped it. You can't have that happen. I don't know whether you're going to have a change there or not. You know, you hope not, because he's such a dynamic punt returner, but I mean, that's just an unallowable situation that you had there, and it nearly cost you the game.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because Dave and I did like a Facebook Live at halftime, and I was like, hey, they got to get McKenzie the ball more. You know, they got to get the ball in space and everything. And it showed, because when he got the ball, you know, he was one of the catalysts of Georgia's offense. But then, like you said, just can't have that happen. So this brings me to the question of something that we saw a lot during the Coach Rick era, and that was the fair catch specialist. Is that something we could see come back?
Yeah, Ray, you may see Reggie Davis come back. Of course, Reggie Davis was the fair catch specialist last year when he fumbled it into the end zone against Florida. So, you know, I don't know what the deal is. Georgia traditionally has had great, not just punt returners, but just great, you know, great guy. You got to identify a guy who's just great at that, you know. I mean, I go all the way back to Chuck Carswell and those guys. They were guys that they were like sticky glue, you know. I mean, when that ball came down, you knew, by golly, they were going to catch it. And I haven't seen that for a couple of years now, and that's been a problem.
Talking with Chip Towers from DogNation.com, the AJC.com. All right, Chip, let me ask you this, and I'm not asking you to say whether you agree or disagree, but are you surprised at the limited access that the media is getting with the quarterbacks and some of the other players?
Well, you know, surprised, and I'm annoyed and aggravated about it. And listen, I know this is the last thing that fans want
right
to hear about.
That's why I phrased the question the way I did.
Well, I mean, they're always like, but they don't understand. I mean, they don't understand the big picture. I mean, they're like, yeah, Kirby, you know, you keep that mean old media out, you know, and I disagree with it on multiple levels, but but fundamentally, okay, I disagree with it on a constitutional level. All right, you're keeping kids from talking, okay, and it's a control thing, and this guy doesn't deserve to talk, and that guy does deserve to talk. But really, what's happening is the institution, the state institution that you're covering, is dictating what you write about. And so, for instance, what bothers me is, you know, Claude and them ask us for our interview request, you know, twice a week. We put in our request, and then they're ignored, and we're given somebody else. You know, that's a farce, and I also think it's ridiculous. For instance, we've tried to talk to Tyler Catalina all year long. He's a great story. He transferred from Rhode Island. He's starting at left tackle for an SEC team. We're not allowed to talk to him. This is a grown man. He's 23-year-old graduate transfer. Yet we are able to talk to Maurice Smith. And, you know, so the institution, the state institution, shouldn't be dictating what the media outlets write. Plus, we want to tell you what you want to know. I mean, we know from feedback in the the digital age, we know what you want to read about. You know, you want to talk to Jacob Eason, you want to talk to these other guys, and it's the coach's prerogative to decide. You know, that he has his reasons to talk to this guy or that guy. I don't think it has one iota to do with whether you win or lose a game. I don't think it has anything to do with it. They brief those guys on what they want them to say. But, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, how do you feel about living in Atlanta rather than Worcester, Massachusetts? You know, how do you like the food here? How's the classes going? They deserve to know who these people are that they're watching under the helmets every week. So I'm aggravated and annoyed by it. I mean, it's at the end of the day, we're going to deal with whatever the circumstances are we have to, but we're just trying to tell the stories and bring the personalities and stories to the readers that we feel like they deserve to know.
Chip, great stuff as always. We do appreciate it. Look forward to having you on every Monday during the season, and safe travels to Columbia this weekend, and hopefully the Dogs can pull it out. I have a feeling, though, it is going to be another one of those just gut-wrenching type games that we've kind of gotten used to.
Hopefully we'll have a little bit more positive to talk about this coming Monday.
All right, thanks, Chip.
All right.
All right. Chip Towers from DogNation.com, the AJC.com.